Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, a partner at PricewaterhouseCoopers, and today's conversation with Lynn Scarlett, Assistant Secretary for Policy Management and Budget at the U.S. Department of Interior. And joining us in our conversation is another PwC-er, Ken Bresnahan.
Well, Lynn, getting back to your prior experience in competitive sourcing seems to have prepared you well for the challenges in the President's management agenda in that area. We understand that Interior has some innovative ideas for competitive sourcing, and we'd like to learn a little bit more about that.
Let me begin by a kind of big picture comment with competitive sourcing. You may recall in the 80s an earlier competitive sourcing effort in government and certainly across the country. Oftentimes the initial focus was on simply cost savings and efficiency. At Interior, we do not view that as the centerpiece of what competitive sourcing is all about. Our entire management focus is on what we call citizen-centered governance. How can we best deliver services to the American people? Not only quality service, but cost-effectively. So we view competitive sourcing as a way of asking ourselves, gee, if we look at our internal operations, are they best structured to deliver that service? Might we restructure our services in-house in a different way that would allow us to be more effective? Or, by golly, through contracting, might we better achieve the good delivery of the service? The contracting gives us opportunity, for example, to access technology that we might not otherwise have. It might give us access to skill sets that would be otherwise difficult for us to get. In my former life in the think tank world, one of the things we learned in surveying cities and counties and states that engaged in competitive sourcing is that often it wasn't cost cutting or RIFs, reductions in force, that this was all about. It was, gee, if you're a small local government, for example, that can't afford your own engineer, by contracting, you can contract with a company that might have lots of engineers, and you're just buying a little piece of that engineer's time. So it gives you access to skill sets. Here we are at Interior. We're a very large agency, 70,000 people. We're almost like a small city ourselves. We view competitive sourcing as a way to access those skill sets, to put ourselves to the test of, are we delivering in the best way possible? That brings me to the mechanisms. The more traditional mechanism to do competitive sourcing, and the emphasis, by the way, is on competition, putting ourselves to that test of, you know, how do we measure up against everybody else providing similar services? A76 was the old-fashioned way of doing that. It's a fairly cumbersome process where you look at your particular business unit, you compete it against, you do cost comparisons hypothetically against external units. We think that while A76 has some utility, in some ways the tool itself is more cumbersome than the outcome you're trying to achieve. So we have developed an expedited review process. A lot of our field units, I mentioned that we have 2,500 or so, are really small units with just a few people. We can't recombine those people, and they're, by the way, often in the West, miles apart from each other. So we can't recombine those into bigger business units that would be suitable for, say, an A76 competition comparison. So many of our units are 10 people or less. Well, a 10 people or less kind of entity doesn't render itself well to this fairly lengthy and complex review process. So we have an expedited review process that's geared towards being able to compete some of those commercializable services that are 10 units or less. We've developed guidelines. It's a 60-day review process. For those folks who have ever gone through an A76, they know 60 days is really short and probably not doable under the more traditional A76. So it's a mechanism to kind of, in a general way, doing a competition and a cost comparison without worrying about whether every last dollar was identified and every T crossed and every I dotted. It's kind of a generic way of doing a competition.
What have been the results of those small competitions?
Well, we're actually just beginning, so we there's no there yet. We just completed in the middle of April identifying all of the different activities within the bureaus that would be subject to competitions under competitive sourcing, and we're now beginning the process of doing those reviews. So it's too early to tell, but we should know pretty soon what the results are. I should say, by the way, that we expect, if we look at the experience of the Department of Defense in the past, or even for that matter, cities or counties, we expect that we'll compete pretty well on some of the services and we'll likely retain some of them in-house. Others will expect to find that the private sector really is going to be able to do this better or higher quality or better access to technology. So we are agnostic on the outcome. We want the results to determine where we go.
Even though the Department of Defense has that experience, I think when people think about competitive sourcing or A70, they think about job loss. And I note that by the end of 2003, the department is supposed to compete 15% of its commercial activities workforce. How is that working its way through the department?
The president's management agenda tried to set some goals, and they set that 15% goal. Interestingly enough, we right from the beginning cautioned that it would be probably better to focus on outcome. That is, are you achieving higher quality, low cost service, and where is it that you can do it, than on some kind of arbitrary number. Mm-hmm. But they set that benchmark, so we went out and we used the FAIR Act. Many people are familiar with that act, which asks us to identify commercializable services within the Bureau. And of that universe, we then identified 15% to go through this review process. But what we tell folks is, remember, there's a big difference between 15% going through a review process and any outcome as it relates to employees and employee cuts in jobs. We do not know what the impact will be overall from that competition on our employee and on our workforce. But here again, I should underscore that what we have emphasized is trying to work with our employees. One of the first things I did when I got on board, when I learned of the president's management agenda, learned that competitive sourcing was one of those five prongs, was to call a meeting with our union. We sat down with the unions. We actually have a resolution with the unions to work with us. So if a competitive outsourcing effort results in the decision to outsource, we will then work with our unions on transition strategies, giving those employees alternatives somewhere else in the department, retraining them, finding some kind of workforce transition so that those folks about whom we care and care deeply will, to the best extent possible, be able to have a job.
One of the things I notice is right now the department is experiencing some restrictions on electronic communications, websites and emails and the like. What kind of management challenges is that presenting?
This challenge has been unbelievable. We could spend 10 or 11 of your programs on this challenge. As a result of a court decision, we were disconnected from the Internet across all of our eight bureaus. That occurred in December 5th or 6th. We are now about 80% back up. My office and the Office of the Secretary continues not to be connected to the Internet. Most of the bureaus did not get back online until sometime in March or April. Think about it for a minute. All of our payroll systems computerized, and a lot of electronic payments of reimbursements of payroll systems. We were going through our annual accountability report, our 2001 financial accounting. All of that information had typically been transferred electronically between our bureaus in the field and between us and the Treasury to do, for example, reconciliations. The areas of impact were so vast that we began to do a daily impact report, which was just a table, and it was about a half an inch thick of lists and lists and lists of impacts. Some of the impacts were surprising. all of us can imagine, uh-oh, you got no email. That's kind of been good. Takes an hour off the front of my day. I don't have to go through my email. I sort of like that. But it really has been in a lot of these kind of hidden and unexpected places, such as how do you do reconciliations? We actually had people from our Denver Business Center have to get on an airplane with a floppy disk and fly it to Washington during our 2001 accountability process. That's the kind of thing that we had to experience.
Well, that's a good stopping point. Rejoin us in a few minutes as we continue our conversation about management with Lynn Scarlett of the Department of Interior. What does the future hold for Interior? We'll ask Lynn for her thoughts when the Business of Government Hour continues.
How have technology initiatives helped the Department of State fulfill its mission? Read more about this topic in a recently published endowment report by Barry Fulton called Leveraging Technology in the Service of Diplomacy. For a copy of this report, visit our website at endowment.pwcglobal.com or call us at 703-741-1077.